Did you happen to get in on the short squeeze this past week on Wall Street? Well, some market speculators, some armchair traders, along with a whole host of hedge fund managers and hipster billionaires, decided to have a little game of chicken, which started around January of this year and came to a head this past week. It seems that some very powerful and influential financiers had begun to short sell GameStop stock. GameStop is a brick and mortar retail store. It's a store chain that sells video games and other novelties tied to the video game industry. Well, the goal of short selling or shorting a stock is to borrow the stock at one price in the hopes that it will drop in its value substantially so that you can settle with the stock owner at a later date to be determined at the lower price, and after any interest fees owing are paid, you get to keep the difference of whatever the original stock price was that you purchased it at. Well, as you can imagine, it can be very lucrative if you can successfully short a stock. Well, a byproduct of that is that it actually can be quite detrimental to the company that finds themselves on the short end of the stick, or stock market, as GameStop found itself here. Now, I don't know if it's because of COVID-19, or the winter seclusion that we find ourselves in, or if it's just simply the fact that because of the pandemic, we've watched all of Netflix, Amazon, and Disney together. But people who have never paid a moment's notice to Wall Street, or GameStop for that matter, quickly became glued to the GME stock price as they watched it not tank, as the short sellers were predicting and speculating, but it actually began to soar to unimaginable heights. At one point, GME stock saw a 1,000% increase, closing at well over $400 a stock. Well, the stock has since settled down at around $65 a stock currently. And after some fascinating twists and turns, which have included an announcement of a pending investigation for stock manipulation, and to also hear that there's a class action lawsuit in the works. Well, some people made a lot of money over the past couple of weeks, but the reality is that a lot of people have lost untold millions of dollars getting caught up in the frenzy or trying to wait it out for the stock to drop below its original purchasing price of the shorters at around $5 a stock. You know, a couple of wealthy hedge fund managers, had to actually call on some others for financial bailouts in the tens of millions. Well, financial advisors worth their salt will steer you clear of something like this GameStop fiasco right now. There is a lot of uncertainty as to what will happen in the coming days. It certainly isn't a blue-chip Fortune 500 kind of investment with a tried-and-true trend line of solid growth and returns. Well, if we are to take stock of the situation Jeremiah finds himself in, he's imprisoned in the palace. If we take stock of the nation of Judah, they are feeling the short squeeze in significant ways. They are hemmed in by Babylon on all sides, and the likelihood of victory or rescue are nothing more than a pipe dream at this point. So as kings do, King Zedekiah assesses the situation calling on the people he trusts, and, well, actually the news and the forecast, neither are very good. Consulting with Jeremiah only makes matters more bleak for Zedekiah, as God declares through his prophet that Zedekiah and the people of God won't be getting out of this one. In fact, God declares that Zedekiah will see and speak to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon himself, face to face, eye to eye. Not as equals, but as Zedekiah being a prisoner and captive. Zedekiah, you will not escape out of the hands of the Babylonians, says the Lord God Almighty. The stock price in Jerusalem has just taken a nosedive. Well, that's when the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And God said, I am the Lord your God. Is nothing too hard for me? You see, Jeremiah is a captive in the court of the king. The king has not appreciated Jeremiah's words from God. The kingdom is under siege. And it's at this point that the Lord God reveals to Jeremiah what his next steps should be. Well, it is not some brilliant escape plan through an aqueduct system, or some secret tunnel beneath the city. There are no fake passports with included tickets on the nearest camel train to Egypt. No. God speaks to Jeremiah, and this is what he says. Jeremiah, your cousin, Hanamel, is going to come to you, and he's going to offer land for you to purchase. And Jeremiah, that land is right here in Jerusalem, and I want you to buy it. Really? This is your plan, God. Yeah? Yes, Jeremiah. This is my plan. You see, Jeremiah, this is not the end of the story. There is much more here, Jeremiah, than meets your eyes. By sword, famine, and plague, this city will be handed over to the Babylonians and to Nebuchadnezzar. But this is not the end of the story. So this is what the Lord says. The Lord says, I will surely gather them and bring them back to this place and let them live in safety. They will be my people and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and deed, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. I will rejoice in doing good to them. Once more, fields will be bought with silver and witnessed with deeds, because I will restore their fortunes, declares the Lord. Well, with perfect timing, Jeremiah's cousin Hanamel walks in, and sure enough, he asked Jeremiah if he would like to buy this piece, this property, this land. Talk about a deja vu, but this is not a deja vu. This is a direct answer to the word of the Lord that Jeremiah has just received. Jeremiah knows that this transaction has indeed been directed by the Lord. So, they do what any Jewish person would do at this time and in this place. They make the deal in the public square, in front of witnesses, And Jeremiah has, we read, Baruch put the deed in safekeeping to protect it, because, of course, he's going to be needing this at a later date to come and claim his land. It just seems so absurd with the Babylonians encircling them, and to know that the superpower is about to ransack the city and, we read, burn it to the ground and take all the best and choicest vessels and people with them back to Babylon. But standing at the city gate, Jeremiah declares the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says, says Jeremiah. Take these documents and put them in a jar for safekeeping. For the Lord declares that houses, fields, and vineyards will again be bought in this land. Well, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, and maybe you're unaware of this. Maybe this will be something new for you, and I hope that it is. And I also hope that you can follow along and you've noticed this coming in the text, for those of you who are aware. But what Jeremiah actually becomes through this transaction is something that was commonly known and referred to at this time as being a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer is someone, usually the nearest and closest relative, who is charged with the duty of restoring or recovering the rights of another and righting any wrongs, restoring what has been lost. By law, the kinsman redeemer had two main responsibilities: to redeem family property that had changed hands and to marry a childless widow and raise children in her dead husband's name. For God's people, this served as a type of social program, a safety net to care for those who faced hardship or misfortune. And so in the midst of this hardship and this misfortune, in the midst of impending doom and destruction of the city of Jerusalem, God says, Jeremiah, I want you to redeem this property. I want you to do it because I'm telling you to do it, because nothing is impossible for me, Jeremiah. I will redeem this. And not just this, but much more than this. The city itself will be redeemed and people will once again live here in safety. Well, we have a great example of this kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth, where we know Boaz takes on the role of kinsman redeemer to take care of and support Ruth and her family after her husband dies. Boaz and Jeremiah both do this at the city gate, the public square, with all of the official requirements and symbolic rituals in place. Now, I found this very interesting. Hanamel, remember Hanamel who comes and says, hey, Jeremiah, would you buy this property? Hanamel's name actually means the grace of God, or God is gracious. And as we know, grace means, the definition of grace is receiving something we do not deserve. And God is essentially saying to his people, you don't deserve this, but because of my great love for you, I will make a way so that you can come back here and live in peace and prosperity in the land. I hear the words of God in Jeremiah 29. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Well, it actually got me thinking about another field. And this field in particular had something very special that was hidden there. And Jesus refers to this field in Matthew 13. And in Matthew 13, Jesus is teaching, and in particular, he's teaching about what it's like and what it means to live in the kingdom of God. And Jesus says this, referring to the kingdom of God and referring to this field. He says in Matthew 13, "The kingdom of heaven," or the kingdom of God, "is like treasure hidden in a field. And when a person finds it, they hide it again, and then in their joy, they go and sell everything they have, and they go and they purchase the field to have the treasure." Well, Jesus is referring to the rule and authority of God in the heart and life of someone who has received the forgiveness of sins and is in relationship with Him. "They are like the one who stands at the gate of the city and buys a field in the midst of the Babylonian army laying siege to the city." You see, the treasure in the field, the treasure is Jesus. He is our kinsman redeemer. The transaction is His shed blood on the cross for us. And we're going to remember that in a moment or two with the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup, these elements that speak to us of His body and His blood given for us. See, this is the hope in the future that God has in store for His people. The hope of glory through Christ. Through Christ Jesus who came to buy us back. Because there is nothing too hard for God. It might not seem it sometimes. We can look around and wonder how we'll ever be able to restore or redeem a situation, a relationship, some adversity that we face. But this I know, what you are going through right now might seem quite immovable, impossible, impenetrable. Would you believe that I have an investment that I would like you to consider? The investment is Jesus, and nothing is too hard for Him. The GameStop stock surge has benefited small-scale investors, many of them surprised at their unlikely windfalls. Perhaps none so much as a 10-year-old boy from San Antonio, Texas. The fifth grader was gifted 10 GameStop shares, each costing $6.19. These were a present from his mother in December of 2019. She bought the stock simply because her son liked to play video games, and GameStop was his favorite store in the whole wide world. Well, in the matter of minutes, this past week, Jaden Carr became an unexpected beneficiary of market mayhem as his $60 stake in the video game industry grew to more than $3,200. "Is this really happening right now?" Jaden's mother, Nina, declared. "I couldn't believe it was true." Once she absorbed the news, she sprinted to her son's bedroom. "I was so excited for him," she said. In simple terms, she described to Jaden what happened to his GameStop shares and why they suddenly skyrocketed. "I was so excited, I thought it wasn't even reality," Jaden said. Nina then walked her son through the selling process, and he cashed out his shares. The plan, according to his mother, is to put $2,200 in Jaden's savings account and then invest the remaining $1,000 as a mother-son team. When Carr bought the 10 GameStop shares in 2019, she certainly did not anticipate the value would one day spontaneously soar. The goal was to ensure he knows the value of a dollar and how to manage money, Nina said. Since Jaden's father passed away in February 2014, it has been a priority for her to educate her son about money management. I'm very frugal, and saving is a big part of what I do. Being the only parent, I want to set a good example for him. I got into finance when his dad passed away. I wanted to make sure his future was in good hands. Now, according to Jaden, he has already learned a lot from his mom. She's always teaching me what to do in emergencies in life and how to save money to one day buy a car and a house, he said. While the gift of 10 GameStop shares may not have been the Xbox One he was hoping for, he has received more than he could have ever hoped or imagined in the end. That situation that you are in, do you know what it needs? Do you know what it needs more than anything? For you to buy that field. For you to come closer to Jesus. Do you know that person that you are having difficulty with? You need to buy that field. You need to discover who Jesus is. You need to draw closer to him. What you need more, what I need more than anything right now, is to step onto that ground where Jesus can be found. He offers it with grace. It will cost you nothing, for he has paid it all. He has paid it all on the cross. It may not seem like this is what you want or need. Trust God. Nothing is out of his reach. Nothing is out of his eye. Nothing is out of his heart. He always has you, and that will never stop. Let's go by the field. It's right there waiting for you. May you experience more than you could ever hope or imagine through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.